I'm going to start the show now.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. We'll get started in just a second, but before we do, I think it's important that you be totally satisfied with this program. I go to a lot of trouble to do this. I actually put pants on, and that's a stretch for me. I want to make sure you're totally happy. I know all these companies are doing surveys. When you call Comcast, Xfinity, whatever the hell their name is, or you call the phone company, or you go into a bank and you do a simple transaction of depositing $3 into your account, online or by phone, you will be asked if you wish to take a survey. And they always say that your opinion really matters to us. We can't exist without your opinion. Aww. We'll do nothing without knowing how you feel about us. We're a bank that's worth like $1 billion, but we can't do anything without your opinion. Aww. Isn't that cool? So as a consumer, we always feel like, ooh, they actually care about how I feel. Somebody actually cares about how I feel. I remember when I was a young adult, like 20, 21 years old, and I had purchased my first home. It was on an assumable mortgage, so it cost me like $3 a day in mortgage fees or something. It was really, really cheap. I didn't even have a job, and I could afford my mortgage. That's how cheap this house was. As a matter of fact, if there was a, it was in Rochester, New York. If there was a wind that was about to blow, the house would immediately drop in temperature, like 25, 30 degrees. It's a really poorly constructed house, but I owned a home, and I remember within the first 6 months, I received a letter in the mail, and it was from the Nielsen rating people, the Nielsens. And they actually said, when you're watching a show, enter the time that you're watching the show in every 15 minutes, grade the show, and also say what you're watching. When you change the channel, please put that down in a little diary and then send it to us at the end of 1 month. And welcome as a member of the Nielsen family. I'm a member of the Nielsen family. What it said to, yeah, thank you. And what it said to me was, my opinion matters. My opinion will be entered into the pool, and not a large pool, a small pool, of people that are giving their opinions on what should be on television. Because Nielsen ratings are based upon, shows are based upon whether I'm watching them or not. What power I had. And I love TV. I love TV. What a feeling it was. So that's what I'm talking about. When a big company says, I'm really interested in your opinion about our company, and it really does make a difference, I feel empowered again. I feel like I make a difference. Very similar to when you eat a lot of cheese, and then days later you're able to go to the bathroom in a very satisfactory manner. It's that kind of feeling of great satisfaction and importance. One refers to my bowels, the other refers to a large company and their success. I could tell you which is which. So anyway, I they care. So when Xfinity or Comcast says, please take our survey, I blast them. I say, you're way too expensive. I hold on the line too long. Your service sucks a lot. I just scathe them, and they never call me back. They never say, well, we understand you're not happy with us. What did we do wrong? They never call back. They don't care. They didn't even look at those surveys. I did a survey. I got a survey request from my local bank, and I had gone into the local bank to make a small withdrawal. Took money out, for those of you who don't know what that means. About a week later online, I get this survey that says, please fill out the survey. We're very interested in your opinion about the service in our bank. And I thought, ooh. But I remember I did have to wait online to see a teller for about 5 minutes, and that pissed me off, because when you go into a bank and you want to take money out, you want to be really, really fast about it. And I didn't have an ATM card because I don't believe in that stuff. When I want money, I want to go into a bank. I want someone to hand me money. That's just a pleasure that I have. That and sex, those two things, and maybe eating, maybe those three things, are my pleasures in life. So I gave them a little bit of a scathing review. I said, I really shouldn't have hire more tellers. I shouldn't have to wait online to get my own money. Well, I hit send, and 3 days later, I get a phone call in my house from the bank. What happened? And they said, this is the blank bank. I won't say the name of the bank. And they say, we received the results from your survey about our service to you, and we were very concerned about the situation with the tellers, and we really want to resolve that. They called me to talk about it to make sure that I was going to be happy with their response. Now that is a survey. That's a survey. So what I want to do today is the same thing that the banks do for me. I want you to take a survey at the end of this episode today and tell me honestly in the survey how you feel about the show. And I will adjust the show. Actually, I won't. But I will say that I will adjust the show according to your custom needs and wants. But you know I won't. So that's what we're going to do. So at the end of the show, you'll hear the closing theme music, and there will be a very short survey after it. I know you're very busy people. You have a lot of things to do. You've got to brush your hair and feed the dog. I know that. It's not going to take much of your time. It's going to be three little survey questions, and it's anonymous. I don't know who you are. I totally don't care. I don't care about what you do in your life, your psychological tendencies, or your peccadilloes, your disillusionments. I don't care about those things. You're just, to me, a nobody, a member of the public. So that's at the end of the show. Will you indulge me with that? Say yes or no. What do you mean no? Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Wow. Wow.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the show. I promise you a good time today. If only my promises were carried through, that would be wonderful. Hey, tomorrow on the program, we have a live interview with Bailey Madison. She's an actress. That name may be familiar to you. She's been in quite a few motion pictures. Brothers, Bridge to Terabithia. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, Just Go With It. Parental Guidance. She was had a big role in that. And now she's co-starring with Christina Hendricks and Martin Henderson in a new film that is appearing in theaters like this weekend. And it's a thriller. It's a horror thriller. Well, thriller thing. In other words, it makes you very, very scared. So we'll speak to her tomorrow on the program. Okay, good for you. I'm so happy for you. Hi, how are you? I went to a restaurant yesterday. Yes, I did. Went to a restaurant for lunch. Every once in a while, I treat myself to something. And what I enjoy most is food. So I treat myself to a food and an alcoholic beverage. That, to me, is life itself. It's a waste of money. But at the same time, it's what we do as Americans. We eat and we drink, and we consider that to be entertainment. So that's how I treat myself every once in a while. When I've completed all my tasks, and I feel completely, I don't have to do anything later on, I'll just kick back, eat some food, and have a beverage. Not so bad, really. So I'm in there, and And on the menu for lunch, they have this cod sandwich. Now, cod, for those of you that may not live near an ocean or anything, a cod is a fish. I don't know what it means, but it is a fish. And it's a white fish, very flaky, and if it's seasoned properly, extremely, extremely tasty. Well, it was a cod sandwich served on an onion roll bun, and it had Danny Aiello sauce in it. I don't know what you call that. So Aiello, so I don't know what it is. It's really big these days. It's got a little spice to it. It's like a spicy mayonnaise kind of thing. And bib lettuce, that's the kind of lettuce that you got to wear a bib, otherwise it gets all over your clothes. And a nice sliced tomato and applewood bacon. I was talking about applewood bacon on the show yesterday. There were actually some slices of applewood bacon on it. And it came with a lovely green salad. Very, very healthy, really, I thought. And I took a bite into this cod sandwich, and it wasn't fried cod. I don't like fried foods at all. Ooh, they scare me. Fried foods scare me because I've seen video of fryolators where they bread it and they put food in this fry thing, onions and for onion rings and French fries and fried fish and fried crap, and I see it bubbling in oil, and I'm saying to myself, Holy, whatever, I'm not eating that crap. It's been fried in oil, and it's not even drained. They take it right out, and they put it on a plate. It's like, enjoy your grease. And it's, whoa, I will not eat fried food anymore. I haven't for quite some time. So I asked if the cod could be grilled or baked in an oven or something. They said, sure, Ron, anything for you. You're a big radio star. They actually said that, and I think I had a little bit of a sexual response down there. I really think it moved a little bit. It was pretty exciting when they said that. Actually, there are three places in the immediate Boston area that actually have pictures of me on the wall when you come in. There are three restaurants. It's very, very odd. You walk into the place and you look up at the wall over the cash register, you know, in the hostess host area, and there's a picture of me, and I signed, you know, good luck, whatever, and there's a picture of me standing on a stage holding a microphone. I'm not the only person on the wall. There's usually two or three other pictures up there of other people, like beauty pageant winners or some celebrity. So it's very ingratiating. And when I walk in, people like turn around and go, hey, you're the guy on the wall. And I say, yeah, that's my claim to fame. I'm the guy on the wall. So anyway, so I'm having my food. It's really, really good. But the service kind of sucks. The wait person, which happens to be this young lady, she just doesn't like come over and say, how you doing? How's everything? There's not a smile on her face. She's just busy running around. And, you know, it's just like, you know, like, what am I paying? What am I tipping for? What, you're bringing the plate from the kitchen to my table, and I'm paying you extra money for this? I'm sorry that the restaurant pays you like minimum wage and you have to exist on tips. Is that my fault? I don't think so. Now, I know for those of you that are in the restaurant wait business, you're probably cursing me out right now. But to be honest with you, you haven't done much for me unless you ingratiate me, tend to me, then I will tip you even more than you would think I would tip you. I'm a great tipper, but I don't just tip because you're standing there. So anyway, so I'm eating the food, and the food is fantastic, man. That cod is just perfectly seasoned, and that sandwich is, and Danny Aiello sauce is just, it's wonderful. And as I'm eating it, I'm saying, I'm coming back here again. This is just like a very, very good, tasty lunch. And then it hits me. Now, again, I don't care how much the wait staff is paid, the host or hostess that greets me at the front door, the chef, the sous chefs, whatever those people are back where they're making the food. I don't care how much. That's your personal employment record thing. I don't care about that. But if I'm going to tip for something that goes beyond, that's tipping to me, then I say to myself, I need to tip the chef. Who made this cod for me? Who prepared this sandwich? I want to give them my praise. I want them to know there was a customer that just thinks your talent in the cooking field is incredible. I want you to know that what you do extremely well. That's what tipping is to me. And I honestly wanted to do this, but I couldn't figure out an avenue in which to carry this out. There is nothing on the check. There is no setup in a restaurant for me to tip the chef. Now, sometimes the food will suck. I don't even want to pay for what I got. But in situations like this, I want the chef or whoever was in that kitchen to know they are extraordinary. So I call the waitress over. It was a waitress. And I said, this food is fantastic. Is there some method where I can tip the chef? She says, no. I said, well, there's a method where I can tip you, apparently. She says, yes, you just write it on the check where it says tip, and that would go to me. I said, yeah, but there's no way that I can tip the chef? She says, no, there isn't. Well, I felt slighted. I felt like, but I want to give the chef some money. Do I meet the chef in a dark alley somewhere after hours and slip them a $10 bill? I mean, how do I do this? She said, well, I will tell the chef that you greatly appreciated the food today. I will pass that on. I said, no, passing on is not it. I don't want passing on. I want to tip the chef. She says, well, I wouldn't, I don't know if that's allowed. I'm allowed to tip you. Yes, that's allowed. But I want to tip the chef. That's not allowed. Can I see the manager? No, you can't see the manager. Why can't I see the manager? You can't see the manager. Why not? The manager's not here. Is there an assistant manager? No, I don't think so. You don't think there's an assistant manager? No, I'm not sure. I'll pass on your comments to the chef, okay? No, it's not good enough. Can you ask the chef to come out? And I can say hello? I can't. It's busy. It's lunchtime. It's busy. Well, you know, I ended up not tipping anybody. Well, I tipped the waitress like 10% because I wasn't getting anywhere with her. Now, if this was a movie, to make it interesting, I would have hung out all day and waited until the chef left through the back door of the restaurant, approached the chef, and said, I just want to give you some money because I think you're incredible. I would have been arrested for some type of harassment or bribery. All right, here's the deal, chef. I'll give you $10 every time I come in. You give me a couple of extra pieces of lettuce. What do you say? Yeah, we got a deal? I don't know. Anyway, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show, and Someday someone will figure out why they even do that. But in the meantime, let's just leave it alone.
This is your source for all the news that matters. Hard-hitting, unbiased, investigative journalism, ready to break...
Sorry, John, that's the wrong copy.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, it's not right. Is it under the...
Under the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's this other sheet. That makes so much more sense. Okay.
Okay, let's go again.
You're listening to a podcast that has Ron Van Dam on it. It's the Ron Van Dam Podcast on New England Broadcasting.
St. Patrick's Day is coming up. That is a license to drink in public. Of course, you really can't drink in public, but on St. Patrick's Day, of course, you really can. It's odd that when we think of the Irish, we think of drinking alcohol. That's what I think of, even without the Irish. So it's just, but I don't know where they get this reputation from, because there's a lot of ethnic bastards who are drinking fools in every culture. But for some reason, the Irish are just like a bunch of drunks. I don't know why that ruddy-faced drunks. And believe me, I mean that in an endearing sense. I don't see anything wrong with it, really. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. Ireland is a wonderful place. All the grass is green because it never stops raining. And people are just in pubs, like having good times, slapping each other on the back and drinking beer. And I don't think that that's a bad life for them. I really don't. I think it's okay. There are St. Patrick's Day parades all over the country on St. Patrick's Day, which is interesting how that falls into place. And when you go into a bar, you can get green beer. Let me tell you something. Anything that's green that you drink or you eat is probably, that's the worst color for food, because it means it turned and there's mold on it. So green beer, no, I don't really want to have my alcohol laced with food dye. Thank you very much. Let me enjoy my beer without your silly marketing ploy. And by the way, I'm not into beer. As much. Beer is carbonated. It gives me gas. It bloats me. It makes me look fatter than I actually am. It's not my cup of tea. And it's not sweet tasting. It's basically horrible tasting. Half the beers that I've tried smell like dead skunks. So I don't understand the beer thing. But happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Top of the morning. Tell you happy St. Patrick's Day. I can't do the accent. I'm not even going to try. So happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Every day that I follow President Trump, quote unquote President Trump, I can't put those two words. The president used to be a very respectable leadership, ethical office of this great country that represented the very best in us, the hopes and the dreams. Would repair ill feelings, would always bring us together, always make us feel like one people in a one nation. The president that we have now, and his last name begins with a T, is the opposite. Systematically dividing us. And by the way, it's not us that are dividing ourselves. It is he that is using that division, promotes the division for his own political, but more so his more personality delusionment game. Very, very destructive. If we make it through 4 years without destroying democracy, I will be surprised, because Trump thinks he's the king, says it. His idols are dictators who are kings. It's fascinating that half of this country puts up with his bullshit every day. He is also a liar. He talks about fake news all the time, and nobody is more fake or lies more than he does. If you don't believe that's the case, then you have fallen into his realm and his web of lies. Your lips must be so dark brown by now. Think about it. The man's a liar. You can catch him in lies every single day in every single subject. And this is the person that we have put into this very important house. Interesting. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be here. Ooh, wow.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
We talked earlier in the week about people live in the Midwest. I think they're fantastic people for people that live in the Midwest. And a lot of them have never seen the ocean before except for on television or in movies. So it's time to expand yourself. People who travel are usually more culturally advanced than others. Not usually, all the time. So travel more. Go places. Pick up the lives of other people and experience what the world is really like. Yeah.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Hey, Patricia. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Thank you. I'm fine.
Good. Patricia Schultz joins us now. She's a veteran travel journalist. She's featured on all kinds of television stations and television shows, best-selling author. And she joins us now. We're talking about, March has been designated as National Women's History Month, and only that. Well, I don't know if that's the case, but that's what we're talking about. I guess also about traveling.
Well, I think that we're shining the spotlight on those women adventurers who are very much part of our history, and we're kind of the first to blaze the trail and make it possible for women over time to travel more and more frequently and to travel independently and to travel to sometimes very unconventional and far-flung places
in
numbers and ways which were not always available to us or encouraged by us.
Yeah, traveling's difficult for everybody these days, but it's certainly, become a, it doesn't matter if you're man or woman kind of deal. You can go anywhere you want, do anything you want, and
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, male, female, young, old,
sure.
Seasoned, rookie, people in general are traveling. We are, I think, addressing the whole issue of women travelers because it is a rather new notion that women can travel independently. You know, there was a time not so long ago when we needed permission or encouragement, and that's really kind of falling by the wayside. There are new data and new studies by the guided vacation company Trafalgar who highlight and substantiate what we've always, known, which are that women are traveling more. They're finding it
sure.
makes them bold. It makes them courageous and brave. It provides, it promises, it really guarantees life lessons that you then bring with you, not just on your next trip, but through life. And it has women and everyone understand how they see the world and their place
Absolutely.
In it and how what they would like to do with their lives ultimately.
Right.
It's an enormous education that, is invaluable.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
4 years back at school just
yeah.
by comparison is almost, negligible.
Yeah, when I was younger, I knew people in Brooklyn who had never been to New York City, to Manhattan. I thought, wow, you really don't travel. That's like,
yeah.
That's
and
like
you know,
really
just last week I was in Florida and there was a wonderful couple saying, oh, you've so encouraged us to travel. They had never been outside the state of Florida. The numbers of Americans who have never left their state, be it, teensy tiny like Delaware or one of the larger Texas sides, the numbers of Americans without passports is always astonishing to me.
Yeah.
So I'm here to really encourage people, women, young, old, men, families, multi-generation families to travel. The importance of travel it's all important to me. It's really been my life, my inspiration.
It is a mark between two people socially. People who have traveled, not extensively, but have traveled, are more cultured. They think on their feet faster. They're more independent. They understand other people and other cultures and other ways of life like other people cannot. It's necessary for a human being to experience some of that sometimes. And if you don't, you can actually tell a difference that these other people are not as universal. And it's important.
It is very important. And I think it's important to encourage families to bring children. You hear repeatedly, the kids are too young, they won't remember. Well, they do remember, and it does impact them early on, and it does give them a sense, as it does with every traveler, a sense of independence and a sense of resilience. And there's a lot of stuff that travel throws at you that you become very resourceful. You're not hesitant about the language barrier or the cultural barriers. In fact, you embrace them. It becomes something exciting rather than leaving you fearful. The more you don't travel, the more you don't travel, and then you grow kind of complacent about travel. And to have missed out on travel, you wake up and you're 90, are you going to start then? I think not.
Yeah.
So there's really no time like today. The month of March hopefully will, with women, really remind us of life is precious, carpe diem, grab the moment and make it happen.
Yeah.
Start planning now, start making it happen now.
Sure, and it doesn't have to be expensive either. There are plenty of good deals to many places, and you don't have to worry about traveling alone or whether you are a woman or a man traveling alone. Just go do it. You're not the only one doing that.
Exactly. They say the most difficult thing is just getting out the front door.
Yeah.
Because you think and you plan and you plan and you think and the months and years go by. Just do it, like you say.
Yeah.
And often, for the longest time, whatever the cheapest airfare was, it didn't almost matter much where it was going to, because there were just so many places that I wanted to see that it was all good. My bucket list was pages and pages long, so where my next departure was for was often determined by the cheapest airfare I could find.
How do we get more information?
Everything you need to know and then some can be found on Trafalgar.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think that while the spotlight in March is on women traveling and women's history, I think that the other 11 months of the year are every bit the appropriate time to travel as well. And if you need to travel in advance into next year, that's fine too.
I think that's okay. Okay. Hey, great talking to you. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. It's time to take the survey now. Now, here's what you do. Go to your cell phone. I'll wait. Or some other device that has numbers on it. Now we have, the past few days, our crew has been out all across the country. So they've programmed your phone and everything that has a keyboard on it, including even your, in the keyboard on your computer. Press the number that corresponds with your response and we will get the response here. Are you ready? Okay, let's begin. Question number one. How long did it take you to download this program? Very quickly, press 1. Not so quick, press 2. Couldn't even be bothered to do it, press 3. Okay, press now. All right. Okay, question number 2. Was the host pleasant? Did the host offer you any prizes or any cookies of any sort? If the host, which is myself, offered you cookies and prizes, press 1. Did not offer you cookies and prizes, press 2. Okay, question number 3. If Ron requested payment in order to listen to these programs, how would you respond? Press 1 if you would respond, "It's certainly worth it. I'd be happy to pay him large amounts of money for his radio services." Press 1. Or press 2, "No chance in hell am I going to support financially that little bastard." Press 2. Press 3 if you have no opinion. Well, thank you very much for participating in this survey. This helps us craft and mold this program into a perfect working machine. Thank you for your input. so stupid. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.